In my mind, the biggest battle that you fight in personal finance is lifestyle inflation. Lifestyle inflation is, you know, every year you get that little raise at work or you make a little bit more money. And rather than just kind of being content with where you're at or what you have, you know, it's buying, you know, the nicer clothes or the nicer car.
We all have those friends that are so passionate about a topic that they become our de facto expert, whether we realize it or not. A passion for personal finance turned Robbie Wesko into that expert shortly after graduating college. A self-proclaimed personal finance nerd, Robbie took what he learned, his passion for the topic, and turned it into being a valuable member of the online personal finance community, developing the Eat.Money site. A family man whose passion for personal finance is evident throughout this conversation, Robbie joins the podcast this week to talk about founding his blog, budgeting, and keeping your head and attitude right when dealing with money to set yourself up for success. Making Your Money Work is a podcast dedicated to helping educate you on everything personal finance. Money shouldn't be a scary or overwhelming topic, and our goal is to give you the information you need to live your best life. Making Your Money Work is brought to you by Squire, a financial education platform that meets you wherever you are in life and takes you through anything you're dealing with. Squire, it's more than money. Now, without further ado, it's Making Your Money Work, episode 13 with Robbie from Eat Money. This edition of the Making Your Money Work podcast, I'm joined by the man who runs, writes, does everything for the Eat Money blog. Robbie, first off, it's been a long time coming, but we really appreciate you taking some time to join us here on the podcast and talk a little bit everything financial education here.
Yeah, thank you. No, definitely. Thanks for having me. You're right. It's definitely been a long time coming, but I'm glad we were finally able to work something out. This is awesome.
We'll start with your story, kind of your path, how you got started in this. You began the blog in 2018, but take us back. How did you get into this space? How did you start the Eat Money blog?
Yeah, no, it's definitely been a long time coming. I graduated college in 2011, and the internship before my senior year, so it's about a 3-month stretch, for whatever reason, got hooked on Dave Ramsey. I was listening to either the radio show or the podcast or whatever was popular at that time. And I really had an interest because I was getting married just after graduation and wanted to get my wife and I off on the right foot financially. So after graduation, kind of kept on the Dave Ramsey thing, you know, the total money makeover, the steps, you know, everything along those lines. And probably did that for a solid 2-3 years, something along those, somewhere in there. And finally, after 2-3 years, kind of had my feet underneath me, definitely had made it through all the steps, but finally kind of started to see the light at the end of the tunnel and kind of started to, you know, lift my head up and kind of look around and, you know, think, what's next? You know, what's that next big step that I can take? And a lot of personal finance bloggers have kind of gotten into the community via Mr. Money Mustache. I was the same way. I don't think I necessarily dove as deep as a lot of people did in his content, but to me, his whole thing was just a wake-up call that, you know, there's a whole lot more out there. And it's, you know, it's not always about just pinching every penny and watching every little expense. It's a lot more than that. So once I dove into, or once I found that blog, just dove into every topic, learned as much as I possibly could, podcasts, books, blogs, everything. And so much so, that's kind of got to be known as, you know, kind of the personal finance guy with friends and family and things of that nature, to the point where, you know, I was helping some people out, just having some money conversations really more than anything, you know, helped a family friend that just graduated college kind of just feel confident in herself, you know, getting into the real world with her real first job. Had some lots of other conversations with lots of other people, and it kind of just clicked. You know, I've got all this knowledge and I've got all this passion because I know that personal finance, you know, to some it's just, you know, some geeky numbers, but to me it can have a real lasting impression on someone's life. So from there I decided, you know, I'm going to start writing about it. And that was about a year and a half ago or so. And it took a little bit to feel comfortable blogging and the whole nine yards. But it August of last year, I put my first post out there. And I've been writing ever since, and definitely some ups and downs. But, you know, it's all about just having that positive impact and just meeting new people.
You mentioned that you got to a point where you realized it didn't have to be about pinching every single penny, and you could go through other ways to kind of give yourself the life you really want while still making smart choices. Was there a moment that clicked for you, or what was kind of the lead up to realizing that?
That's a good question. I think it really came down to the fact that, so I was newly married, and you know, having the mindset that I did, you know, diving into Dave Ramsey, I was certainly the saver in the relationship. And I think it's always great if you can have a nice balance between your spouse and yourself. And my wife is the spender, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And, you know, we would just have constant conversations about, you know, this little expense and that little expense. And I guess just one day the light bulb went off and I realized, you know, that dollar, that $5, not as big of a deal as I'm making. And I kind of just took a step back and realized that all these bloggers that I'm following, you know, they've been in this game for 8, 10, 20 years, you know, who knows how long. And I need to stop comparing myself to those people. And I just need to focus on really enjoying life and kind of having a long-term vision for where I want to go. And as long as I'm taking some baby steps in that direction, then we're going to call it good. And not so much worried about, you know, getting there in 12 months or 24 months.
As you've gotten into this space, and you mentioned helping your friends, dealing with other people that you've interacted with, whether it was social media and other ways, how big has that issue been of constantly comparing themselves to other people continued to come up when it comes to personal finances? Because it's really become a taboo topic almost, because it seems like everyone's always comparing each other.
Oh, that's, you're 100% right. In my mind, the biggest battle that you fight in personal finance is lifestyle inflation. Lifestyle inflation is, you know, every year you get that little raise at work or you make a little bit more money. And rather than just kind of being content with where you're at or what you have, you know, it's buying, you know, the nicer clothes or the nicer car. And then what I've found, at least in my personal life, is just kind of observing and reading and learning, is that a lot of times people get themselves in trouble if they just kind of lift themselves up and look around and look to see what other people are buying and what other people are spending their money on or the vacations that they go on or what have you. And the more that they look around and think, well, you know, if they can do that, then I need to do that. It kind of ratchets up that spending. And kind of just going back to what I said earlier, it's really just about being happy, being content with what you have. And a big part of what I kind of preach at Eat Money is tracking those expenses and not necessarily trying to pinch every penny, but being aware of where your money's going so that the money that you are spending is aligning with how you want to live your life.
When you dive into that, because, you know, a lot of people will track or will preach budget, budget, budget. When you dive into kind of tracking your expenses, how do you like to kind of break things down as far as, you know, that budget or tracking what goes where?
That's a great question. And I've certainly been through what I would call kind of an evolution as a budgeter. And it started with pen and paper, writing everything down. Next, you know, went to the, and I guess started there and realized, okay, this is not something that I can keep up forever. But I think it was very important that I went through that. After the pen and paper, then came the Google spreadsheet. And from there, same thing. Not something that I thought that I could keep up forever, but it was a valuable experience. You know, going in and typing in every transaction, doing the math, you really become aware of where you're spending your money. Where I've been at for probably the last 3 to 5 years, and will continue to do so. I still, starting in, I believe, January of 2014, I started cataloging every transaction, and I have done so thus far. Granted, started with pen and paper, did the evolution. Now I use an app called Tiller, and it's via, I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but it's via Google spreadsheet. So it, you know, pulls in all your transactions. It's very time efficient. You can just categorize everything very quickly. And that just keeps me aware of where I'm spending my money. And I used to go very detailed on, you know, what categories and things like that. Again, just to kind of be aware of where I'm spending my money. There's no right or wrong answer, and every person's different, but I want to make sure that, you know, if my family is really important or a nice car is very important to me, then I'm going to put my money into those things. And using Tiller, using any budgeting app, is going to allow you to do that.
It's almost become a running joke, I feel like, because it gets beaten to death, you know, that expensive coffee. And nowadays with Disney Plus, it seems like that extra subscription is what people are always talking about, you know, that little bit. But as you did that, was there an expense or a recurring expense that kind of caught you off guard that you kind of, oh, wow, I'm really spending that much for XYZ, or over the month I'm spending that much there? Was there anything like that for you?
So the most conversations that happened early on in, you know, my budgeting experience, and definitely early in my marriage, was about that. You brought it up, that, you know, that $4 or $5 coffee, it was just so aggravating to, you know, try and track every little thing. And then, you know, there goes $4 or $5. And that was one of the things that kind of got the light bulb off that, you know, hey, maybe that's not something that you need to do 365 days a year, but doing that a couple times a week, that's not going to break the bank. And if it does, that's fine. Everybody's in, you know, in their own personal financial situation. And you just, again, need to be aware of that. And if your priority is you want to have a nice coffee a couple times a week, then maybe you just need to sacrifice in other areas, like, you know, your Disney Plus or your cable. I mean, the cable's the other one that I probably haven't had for 4 or 5 years. And, you know, I was just doing the Netflix and Hulu and things of that nature. So it didn't really sacrifice a whole lot. It just looked different than, you know, maybe some of the other people in our lives.
And is that something, as you've talked to your friends, talked to your family, that you kind of, it seems like we continue to come back to that mindset of, you know, figuring out what's important to you. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you really see a lot with your friends and family, is just the unhealthy relationship with money, the unhealthy relationship with where things are going, that kind of leads to these issues that people have?
To me, it all comes back to just, you don't want to compare yourself to others, because as those conversations come up, you know, people always go into conversations with me as their filter is, oh, I'm the money guy. It really has nothing to do with that. It really, it just comes down to the fact that I'm very aware of where I'm spending my money. And there are things that, you know, and some might classify my lifestyle in certain areas as lavish. Well, I'm sacrificing in a lot of other areas because I know that I have certain priorities, you know, my children, my family, things of that nature. I'm spending quality time with them. My family and I, we went to Disney, I don't know, a month ago, and that's not cheap. But you know what? Those memories, you can't put a price tag on those things. Spending that quality time with my family, that's not something that anybody can ever take away. But I'm sure a lot of people looked at that and said, oh my, you know, wow, that's a lot of money. It's not about that. You know, I'll sacrifice in other areas to gain those memories.
As you've kind of delved into this and delved into your own finances, we talked a good bit about budgeting here, so we're going to move on from that.
Oh,
but
yeah, of course.
What have been some other areas for you that you found kind of, whether it's areas that are almost overlooked to an extent where people don't really have a lot of knowledge, or areas where you struggled?
This is one that I'm facing right now, and it's investing. So this is something that, you know, as you, I guess if you have some success in the budgeting game, or you do some stuff, you know, to be able to become a high income earner, you'll have some extra cash laying around. And investing is one of those topics that I'm definitely tackling right now. On the retirement side, you know, I'm very much, you know, just put it away and don't look at it for 30 or 40 years. But for whatever reason, I've just got a lot of cash sitting around and I'm just scared to pull the trigger. You can read every personal finance blog in the, you know, in the world, and it says, you know, oh, it's simple, do A, B, and C. But the biggest thing that I've learned about personal finance, that it's so much more about the mindset and the attitude that you bring to it than the numbers. Because, you know, you could have somebody that's making all the money in the world, but if they don't have the right mindset around money, they'll spend it all. And again, if that's where their priorities are at, then that's completely fine. But it's that's a big one that I wrap my head around. And to be honest, I'm still struggling with that. Still struggling with what I need to do or what levers I need to pull in that area.
And even as somebody as deep into the personal finance community as you are, where do you go when you have kind of an issue like that? Because there's so many resources out there these days. Mm-hmm. There's so many people putting out information. For you personally, what's your path when you come across a topic that you start to struggle with? You're like, I need more on that.
100%. It's books. There's nothing against all of the personal finance bloggers out there. But when they go and they put a post together, you know, it's going to take a couple hours. I feel that books are always my go-to whenever I'm really struggling with a topic, primarily because the amount of effort and work and intensity that someone's put into a book, take that into account. Plus you can go on and read what other people think of books, how credible the sources are, things of that nature. So, go grab 3 or 4 or 5 books on a topic and you can probably know more than about 90% of the people out there.
We'll segue right into one question I like to ask some people as we go along, or some of their favorite books and some of the books that really helped them. So you kind of led me perfectly into it there. Yeah. But for you, what are some of those books for you that are kind of the Mount Rushmore of personal finance books, for lack of a better phrase?
That is a great question. So I'll be honest with you. So I'm a personal finance nerd, also a big book nerd, to the point that I don't even know. Sometime after I graduated college, probably 2012, 2013, started tracking the books that I read because I found that I kept kind of rereading them. So I don't know how many books I've read up to this point, but I read and listen. You know, once you have a family, it becomes about consuming the books. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to read them. Probably about 30 or 35 a year is where I sit. Honestly, a lot of the books that I've been tackling lately are more about the mindset more than actually personal finance. One book that jumps out to me and that I'm a big proponent of is Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. It's again, more on the mindset side, but it's all about just taking ownership of your situation and doing everything that you can to dictate the outcome.
I actually have that sitting right behind my computer right now and is one that I'm reading myself. So
fantastic.
Great suggestion as well. But we'll just kind of continue with that. Were there, you know, a lot of people will mention books that they read when they started, mm-hmm. as far as finance goes. Were there some for you that you read when you started that you still kind of go back to or that kind of really helped jumpstart you?
The first one that comes to mind is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That's one that you're going to hear a lot. But that one is the first one that really opened my eyes to you need to buy assets and you don't need to buy liabilities. And it's really that simple. Like a lot of the greatest, most profound things in life are simple. And that is definitely one of them. Another book that comes to top of mind is Your Money or Your Life by Vicki Robbins, I believe. And that's probably more on the mindset, but definitely a good one that I remember having a positive impact on my life.
All right, Robbie from the Eat Money blog, really appreciate it. If people want to connect with you, read your stuff, where can they go to do that?
Yeah, so go to eat.money. It's not eatmoney.com, it's eat.money. And then I'm an Eat Money blog on Twitter. Hit me up, find me wherever you want, and ask me all the personal finance questions you want.
Beautiful. Robbie, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Now, if you enjoyed this episode as much as I did, make sure to click that subscribe button and leave a rating and let us know how we're doing, what we can do to help you, and what topics you want to hear. Additionally, if there's someone you think would be a great interview for the podcast, make sure to follow us on social media and let us know. We at Squire are here to help you, so don't be afraid to reach out no matter what question or issue you're running into. We look forward to hearing from you and talking to you on social media.